Welcome to this episode of the Building Texas Show. I'm excited to be visiting with my friend Paul O'Brien, who is at South by Southwest today and enjoying downtown Austin and somehow out of the wind. Paul, how are you today?
I'm great, everybody. How y'all doing?
How has South by Southwest been 2026?
The same roller coaster that it always is. Very late nights, very early mornings. Yesterday it was 90 degrees. Today it's 40 degrees. So we do the best we can to get through it, you know? We're having a great time.
We're giving everybody, it's a Texas experience.
That's right. You got to get it all in at once. Including, by the way, if you haven't seen it, everybody, the missing convention center, which has thrown a bit of a wrench in things. It's a very spread out South by Southwest this year.
Well, and it's going to be 2 years missing the convention center, as I understand it.
If you were to put money on it, I would think more than that. And what's kind of exciting, though, is the conference worked pretty well, regardless of that.
Yeah.
It's certainly spread out. If you've not been here before, everybody, or if you have been here before, you know, it's essentially 35 to West 6 at this point. I actually went to an event all the way north in 183. Which was a South by activation, which is a good 20-minute ride from downtown. So they're making the most of Austin as best they can.
It's great for them to be doing that and finding solutions. I agree, going to all of the houses, it has been great to get around Austin, see different buildings, see different venues, and the city's definitely gotten creative with how it's shown up.
Yeah, really well done.
I will applaud, and I'll say for people planning for South by 2027, I saw you starting to talk about South by months ago and encouraging people to really put together their strategy to get it the most out of South by. How do you think about that?
I'd work backwards by answering the question. What I mean by that is I'm still getting invited to things today. If you are putting together an event Friday before South by Southwest starts and then blasting everybody, hoping you're going to get much attention, it's not going to happen. We all have most of our schedule figured out a month ago. And certainly we'll add things to it, but we'll only add things to it if we know the hosts or something we have to be at or if it's something we're suddenly speaking at. And you're right, historically, those of us that live in Austin, those of us that are active in South by, we start putting things together in October, November. Easy. Certainly if you want a better deal on a venue, certainly if you want to have the time to put a little bit more promotion or make some more connections before you get here, last minute kind of things, they can work, but I wouldn't have high expectations if that's how you're going at it.
Well, let's back up and introduce you to those that don't know you. I've enjoyed getting to know you and your work in the entrepreneurial space around Texas, but you've got a bigger footprint in history than I know. So where would people have run across you in your time here?
Thank you. I did spend about 15 years in Silicon Valley, did a couple of startups that got acquired after time at Yahoo. And then easiest way to put it is I became an EIR in venture capital there. I moved to Austin about 15, 16 years ago. I think the easiest way people characterize me here is I'm involved in everything that is from somewhere else, which is actually kind of the accurate way to put it. I brought Founder Institute into Texas. I helped bring Mass Challenge into Texas. I've done a lot of Techstars to get them into Texas. I'm a big fan of the idea that collisions and immigration is actually a big benefit to entrepreneurs because you bring access to other ecosystems. You bring different perspectives. You bring different experiences. We bring different cultures together. And so a lot of what helped Austin and indeed Texas start to boom more with entrepreneurship is that import of things from other places. I publish what's known as Startup Economist. It's actually my name, SEOBrien.com. Yeah. And I just published a book this past week called Startup Ecosystems.
I just ordered mine.
Ah, thank you.
And I can't wait to read it because I've had my hand in some startup ecosystems, and you and I have talked about the hard work that it is, especially if you're in a silo versus a regional approach. And I've learned a lot through my past, but also just putting your lens over my past was really helpful for me to understand where we could have made different decisions.
What I'm really trying to take a look at is, everyone, if you're familiar with Brad Feld's startup communities from about 15 years ago, easily the definitive or the first book that really established that we can build these ecosystems in places that aren't necessarily known for being startup hubs, we're about 15 years off of that book. And so you're right, Jess. And what I did was I wanted to take a look at what we've learned since then. What works well, what doesn't work well, frankly, and try to elevate the conversation for cities and states around the fact that, you know, it's not as simple as putting together meetups and an accelerator. If you really want to be meaningful on behalf of the entrepreneur class, we've got venture studios now. You've got different forms of funding to consider. We even get into some policy considerations and how to work with universities better. The idea being that you really do have to intentionally design an ecosystem designed for entrepreneurs in particular, not just a community, not an ecosystem in a broad context, not even for entrepreneurs necessarily, but startups in particular. And so we even get into clarifying and distinguishing what that means, so that ecosystem builders, economic development offices, city leaders can really start to understand how this works a little bit more effectively and put it in practice.
Well, and they're investing in this. People, cities, municipals, tax money is going into these ecosystems, but it's looking at it through a lens of dated metrics. How many jobs did you create, et cetera? And I really want to encourage people to learn those lessons that I'm sure you're sharing in your book.
One of the lessons related to job creation is you're right. Job creation is a poor measure or a poor immediate measure when you're focusing on the startup sector, because it's going to take years for startups to create jobs. So instead, what we talk about is what's called optionality. Optionality refers to the ability for the workforce in your community to switch jobs, to move to a different company, to a different employer, or to try a different startup. And optionality emerges when you focus on your strengths as a sector. So not just startup stuff, but perhaps all semiconductor work. If you want to have entrepreneurs in the semiconductor space, you probably also want Samsung and Freescale and AMD and other companies to be based there. Why? When the startups fail, people need to be able to fall back on a career or a job. Without optionality, that's why we have brain drain. So you actually end up losing talent, because at the end of the day, I have kids to pay for, I have a family to pay for, I'd love to do a startup. I can't do a startup if I don't have job security when things don't work out. So instead of thinking of it like job growth, think of it like asking your ecosystem, what sector do we focus on, and what can we do to increase optionality so that people will try things and they'll be able to move on to different opportunities if that's what's required of them.
Well, and a lot of that is, how do we work today? Everybody will say remote is the greatest way to do it, but there is opportunity around those collisions and ensuring that you're still connected and learning from different parts of our state. So different regions across Texas do things differently. But I want to encourage those collisions to happen, because I see often the silos of decision-making that really do limit the perspective.
Yeah, I don't get into that subject too much in the book, but you make a great point for the sake of your audience. Is we have moved into a remote workforce capability. And I use the word capability because too many folks lean in too far on the idea that we can work remote and therefore we should, and it's probably better. That's not what we actually discovered, right? What we discovered is that it's possible to, sure. And so maybe we could do 3 days a week instead of five and do 2 days out of the office. But you're right, there's still a tremendous amount to be said for the fact that we can run into each other on the street. We can meet at the coffee shop. We can get to know one another at a happy hour afterward. When your community lacks that, you lack the ability for these collisions to occur that Justin's talking about, and you really want to figure out how to put that in place.
So how do you do that at a conference like South By? And being in those rooms, there's a lot of movement. People are colliding, but are they making connections? And what's really coming from a conference like that? And what does it mean for Austin?
So the biggest piece that I think is underappreciated, or I would say that we don't hear people talk about it very much, is that South By is known for houses, if you've not been here, or called houses. I was just at New Mexico House. I spent most of yesterday with Tennessee House. and Philadelphia House or Pennsylvania House, that too many folks still think of South by Southwest as a conference or a trade show, and indeed it is, but you're losing sight of the fact that it's also a film festival, and it's also a music festival, right. And so it's different than anything else in the world, and I mean that. I've been to California in Europe. I've been to Disrupt in San Francisco. This is the only place where you get culture colliding with innovators, colliding with venture capital, and take advantage of these houses, because what it means for Texas is sort of what's called a soft landing program, right? Should Texas be doing more with Michigan? We certainly should be. Well, great. They're all over there on Reiki Street for the next 4 days. Go meet them all. The mayor's there. The economic development office is there. Yeah. Go meet them all and figure that out. The answer to your question, though, Justin, is I would say the advice we tend to give people is don't sell. Don't pitch. Right? We're all here to make as many collisions and connections as possible quickly. And so you do see amongst the folks that have been to South by a lot, we tend to get in a habit where we can almost seem like we're dismissive. And we're not actually dismissive. It's just right. that, hang on, you know, our conversation has gone on for like 10 minutes now, and there's 1,000 other people that I want to go say hi to. So you want to be punchy. You want to be quick. You want to get point across. You want to trade business cards. You want to figure out if you want to go to live music later and otherwise move on and try to make more of them as fast as you can.
Well, how are you leaving your footprint behind? And maybe ask differently, how can people find your book and find more information about your work?
Well, the answer was going to be that I was doing a book signing, but the book didn't get published in time. So the footprint, as far as I'm concerned, is actually just making as much noise as I possibly can. I'm going to be here throughout the rest of the week. As far as the book is concerned, it did get up. So it's on Amazon now, should be on Barnes & Noble as well very shortly. Look up Startup Ecosystems, Paul O'Brien. You'll find it. Hopefully it's priced reasonably. If not, call me. I'll pass along a discount or something.
Well, we're excited to learn the lessons from it, to hear perspectives from so many places that you've been able to make an impact. And to your point, I'm super impressed with what New Mexico and New Mexico House is doing. Yeah. There's some incredible programs that are nationally impact coming out of New Mexico. Tennessee, I heard some great stuff from Launch Tennessee in their conversations. And Michigan has, for a long time, been generating a lot of innovation and opportunity that Texans enjoy today from decades of startups and innovators coming out of those schools and those systems in other states.
You know, I'll leave you too with this thought about New Mexico, because I'm spending most of the day there. But I'm spending most of the day there, Texan, for this reason. There are three primary areas of focus in New Mexico, at New Mexico House right now, are aerospace, energy and clean tech, and data center infrastructure for AI. And what are the three top conversations that we keep having in Texas right now? The exact same thing. So we want to be making those connections. We want to make sure we're collaborating much more than stepping on each other's toes, because as you probably know, with regard to quantum, for example, New Mexico's got Sandia Labs. They're really a research epicenter. And we might be developing or thinking of Texas as more the application epicenter than we start putting into practice. Great way to create some synergy with another state. And a very easy thing to do by spending some time here.
There are some great bridges already between Austin and New Mexico, and I look forward to seeing them continue to build and be a win-win for both regions.
Cheers to that. Yep.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for your time today. Enjoy the rest of South By, and we look forward to getting your book in the mail today.
Thank you, everybody. I look forward to hearing from y'all. Cheers.
Thank you to our sponsor, Chisos Boots, and their damn comfortable cowboy boots.